Blog Talk Radio.
One more time. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Darryl Clark, and you are at the right place at the right time. It is truly my pleasure, my honor, to be bringing you this evening's program, where week in and week out on Thursday evenings, we bring you news, and information that's intended to inspire you and encourage you and empower you, and, of course, to instill you to get involved, because, you see, this is news truly you can use. It's news for you, by you, and of you. Yes, it's by you, because many, if not most, of our programming topics and or guests come from you, the listener, and we so appreciate you reaching out to us. If you are not part of the Progressive News family, join in. Send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore C-L-A, 1-8, at msn.com. Let me know of a topic or guest that you believe should be getting some airtime and simply is not, perhaps because of the subject matter, which might be considered controversial, that mainstream media would not be willing to put on the airwaves. Of course, we'll look into it and vet the individual and or topic to ensure that it is airworthy. And as long as it's grounded in truth, we'll take a look at it and try to bring it to the airwaves. So again, we thank all of you for listening in. This is our first program of 2018, and we so appreciate you for being with us. We pray and have faith that 2018 will be a better year, regardless of how well your 2017 was, than 2017. And we have hope and wishes for you and yours to have a healthy, prosperous, enlightening, empowering, inspiring, healthy, of course, 2018. So this evening, as always, we have another knockdown, take no holds, barred, no prisoners, keeping it real, keeping it live program that we truly believe you'll be able to utilize to help you with you and your loved ones' lives. And we ask that you share this programming with your family and friends, neighbors, colleagues. If they've missed the program, they can catch it on the archives with any computer simply by going to the website, www, and you don't even have to type that in. Just type in blogtalkradio.com, and then you'll want to put a forward slash in there and the word Renford. So that's blog, blogtalkradio, blogtalkradio.com, / Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And when you click on that site, it's going to bring you to the Renford Network, of which my program airs, and you'll see my programs for the last year listed by topic, by date, and by guest. And you can catch my programs in the archives as soon as the very next morning after we air. So do share this program with your friends and loved ones. This evening, as I said, you're going to have to buckle up and hold on, because we're bringing one of my favorite guests to the airwaves this evening, and he's bringing it real. He's bringing it live with some new information that he's done research on. For those of you that are partners of Progressive News, you know who I'm talking about because you've gotten an email from me or a text from me. But if you haven't gotten an email or text, then you're probably not on my list. And you'll need to do so. Again, just send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore C-L-A, 1-8, at msn.com. And we'll be sure to get you on our list so that you'll have privy as to who our guest will be for the week. So, with that said, I just want to, before bringing on our guest, just mention a few things that have crossed my mind over the last week. And if you missed last week's program, you definitely want to catch. We had Dr. Craig Wright, our resident numerologist, and he gave us some enlightening information as to what numbers, show as possibilities. Again, he doesn't claim to be some kind of a prophet or soothsayer or someone that predicts the future. He just simply looks at numbers that are resonant in our lives and then lays out for you what those numbers bring about in terms of, or indicate in terms of possibilities. And I've seen over many, many years him be right on target with many people's lives. He's predicted weddings, marriages, career changes, and it just is no coincidence. So you'll want to take a look at that. And this is not some sacrilegious type of a individual. In fact, he has studied religion theology in depth and bases a lot of what he talks about on the Bible. In fact, there is a book in the Bible called Numbers. You'll want to listen in on that program in terms of what 2018 may hold for you and your loved ones. And so, other than that, what did I want to talk about, you may ask? Well, many of you know my background is varied. Naturopath, nutritionist. What is a naturopath? It's a health professional that strictly adheres to natural approaches to health. And what do I mean by natural? Something that was not created in a laboratory. I'll just keep it simple, all right? Most, if not all, drugs are created in a laboratory, and they're patented. And in order for a drug to be patented, it has to have some unique component to it. Well, you can't have anything unique about parsley. You can't have anything unique about garlic, because that's, from my perspective, that's part of God's own pharmacy. And you can't patent it. So in order to patent it, you have to add something in there, right, to make it unique. And the body doesn't like a lot of things that are introduced to the body that are not natural. So that's why you'll see a lot of, well, I would say just about all. I can't think of any prescription that hasn't listed some major side effect. And you've seen them on the commercials. So I'm saying all of that to say, as a naturopath, a nutritionist, and with a background in economics, many of you know that as well, and business technology and management, I like to bring some of what I have been blessed to have knowledge of to the fore, in addition to whatever our topic is. And I'm going to, this year going forward, make that a regular part of our program. And I know our listeners have been asking about that for years. Those of you who know me professionally, in terms of what I do with regard to being an advocate for wellness. So I think about someone that was a mentor and a motivator for me in my lifetime, and that was Ralph Nader. Even going back to high school, I always admired him because he was someone that stood up for truth, and he stood up for justice. He stood up for the people, and he was one of the energies that drove me to go into the area of study that I went into, which was, you know, consulting and business and ultimately helping individuals with their help, I mean, helping individuals with their health, and also bringing information to the masses that were not, that was not being provided. You know, when I went to business school, I had a professor that drove that adage, caveat emptor. It's Latin for let the buyer beware. And all businesses pretty much operate, you know, under that axiom. So let the buyer beware means you need to be careful for what you're buying, because we're not going to necessarily look out for your interests. Our responsibility as a business is to look out for the business entity's interest, not yours. And that's business 101, meaning the basics of business. So with that said, you know, as I even go into a grocery store or a supermarket or a department store, or even when I go to get maintenance on the vehicle, any purchasing, that Latin term, caveat emptor, just drives me, because I see where the consumer is being ripped off. Even in your homes, everyone within an earshot of me, and I'm stretching by saying everyone, but I'm going to take a risk that everyone has a television probably in their home. Now, I've met numerous individuals that tell me they don't have cable, they've turned it off, but that's rare. I'm going to say that's probably 0.1%. So if you have cable, the chances are you're being ripped. Think about it. There was a time when there was no commercials on cable. When did this start? You paid cable because you didn't want commercials. You said, you know what, I'll pay for this access into my television whereby I'll be able to get programming and programming only. And then somewhere about 20 years ago, they did an experiment, they being those cable providers, and said, you know, maybe we can double dip. Maybe we can dip into the consumer's pockets. And big business had been knocking on the door all along saying, we'll pay you because you have ears and eyeballs. That's what big business refers to the consumer. I know, as a former employee of a Fortune 10 company. Yeah, one of the top 10. I worked 25 years doing consulting and other various accounting and other engineering. And when we had our corporate meetings, we would refer to the consumer as eyes, ears, eyeballs, because that's what it's about. If we, as a business, we would say, can get access, then we can get in their pockets. Because if you have their eyes and their ears, then you can get to their brain. That's the level on which businesses operate now, folks, and I'm telling you from experience. So when you turn on your television, it's all about the advertisement. It's all about the advertisement. And so I'm going to begin my journey as an advocate in 2018. For example, whatever happened to a half gallon of ice cream or a half gallon of milk or a half gallon of juice? It turned to 59 ounces somewhere along the line, but yet the price stayed the same. Does that not mean you're paying more? And of course, many or most of you noticed it, but you went along lockstep. You know what I mean by lockstep? Like those Asian military where the legs are straight and the arms are straight and they're marching. It looks kind of strange, but that's the way they do it. We went along, all of us, I'm not pointing any fingers here, that thumb's coming right back looking at me, lockstep. And yet we control This is Economics 102. As my background, I'm just sharing. That is the basis of the market, supply and demand. So we control what's being provided. But as long as we can be suppressed not to say anything or not to act on our power, then we're being controlled. So we got to change that, and we can, and we have. You know, as an advocate for non-GMO, and those of you who know my background there, we have numerous specialists in that field. As an advocate for anti-vaccines, I've had numerous specialists on the program over the last 10 years. But let's stop at the GMO for a moment. The next time you're in the supermarket or grocery store or corner store, if you don't shop very much in the supermarkets, you're marketing at a super level, think about it. The next time you walk down the aisle, and I'm not talking about the produce aisle, I'm talking about towards the center, because produce typically is on the outside of the grocery stores. It's by design. I mean, you know, the circumference. And so as you're walking down the aisles where you're getting your mayonnaise or your ketchup or your cake mixes, look on the label and see how you're starting to see non-GMO. That's because of a campaign of grassroots individuals, and many of you have been involved in this marketing campaign from grassroots individuals that said, no more. We know GMO is dangerous. And so now those makers of genetically modified, that's what GMO is, genetically modified organisms, which means that they're mixing things in your food that you're not aware of. For example, a genetically modified tomato may have a DNA, all right, of a peanut to make the tomato grow in more inclement weather, because peanuts are known to be able to handle certain weather. Or you may, and if you're allergic to peanuts and you have one of those tomatoes, guess what? You're going to have a problem. They're even crossbreeding DNA from fish with food. So for certain properties and characteristics that those fish carry. So if you're allergic to fish, that's why some even doctors are beginning to say, well, try organic with regard to allergies, because you're getting what you're being told you're getting. An apple is an apple. It's not an apple that's been crossbred with the Alaskan salmon. So caveat emptor, folks. We're going to be smarter consumers this year. Smarter. Because I know many of my listeners are already very, very intellectually aware of what's going on. But I'm going to bring it strong, keeping it live. For those of you who didn't hear the bumper tune, it was one of my favorites, the Daz Band, Hometown Band, Keep It Live. And that's what we're going to be doing going forward. Which brings me to my special guest today. And I may have gone over a little bit just talking about what we need to be aware of. But that's important, folks. Just to recap what I was talking about is be aware of the products that you're purchasing. Don't purchase anything without looking at the label, looking at how much sugar-laden it is, looking how much sodium-laden it is, because those are two things in excess that will kill you. And that's a fact, in excess. So begin looking at those things. We're going to talk more and more as the programs ahead are produced about those things. And look at the quantities, because it's getting to be silly season now. and our watchdogs are not looking out for us. The government obviously is not your friend. If the government was your friend, you wouldn't be turning on the television at 5 in the afternoon, and now everyone has cable, and your children are looking at TNA. And I'm not talking about Tom and Jerry and A standing for applesauce. So our watchdogs are not looking out for us. If our watchdogs were looking out for us, and that's the FCC, then we wouldn't be dealing with GMO. That's the FDA. You know, so let's keep it real. You wouldn't be crushed in an airplane, you know, risking blood constriction in your joints because the seats are so close. So our watchdogs are not watching out for us. They're being heavily influenced by big business. And guess what? It's legal, so it's fair, so it's caveat emptor time. We need to be aware. And it's time for us to step up and speak out. So let's do that. Let's do that just quite a bit more. And so this isn't a political thing. This isn't a Democrat or Republican, because it doesn't matter. I mean, I know I got a lot of folks, and I'm not pleased with Mr. Trump myself, but I wasn't pleased with Mr. Obama. Now, I'm not comparing the two, so don't be calling me and sending me no hate mail. I'm just saying. Left wing, right wing, same bird. I'm not going to get into any political conversation right now. We'll do that in the weeks ahead for those of you who want to comment on that. So, for tonight, we have a very, very, very special guest. Mr. Tony Grant is with us, and it's just such a pleasure because he's a man of my own heart. He truly is. He's one to not mince words. He speaks truth to power. We spoke earlier about what we were going to be opening our program up for 2018 with, because he's going to be a regular on our program, as many of you have requested. And we said, well, actually, I basically handed that to Tony and said, Tony, what do you want to do? And he said, well, let's open this can up on antidepressants just to start. And if you have concerns or thoughts that you want to discuss in terms of prescription drugs that you're concerned with, you're more than welcome to join in this dialogue. The number, if you haven't already dialed it, is 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. For those of you who dialed in through your computer, if you dialed that number to join the show and you hear something that you want to comment on, or you have a question about prescription drugs and the dangers thereof, or a comment that you want to share with the other listeners through an experience that you may have had, please press 1 on your dial, and myself or my producer engineer, Cecil, will pick up and bring you in the background and set you in queue for commenting or asking your question. So without further ado, I just want to introduce someone that over the last few years has really become a friend of not just Progressive News, but of mine. And we have, you know, quite a bit in common. Mr. Tony Grant has been a broadcast journalist for over 40 years, and he specializes in medical research. He is a co-author of the Immune Power Program and the Statin Damage Report. Now, that's something that I'm going to make sure we talk a little bit about, although that's not the focus of the topic tonight, because a lot of you don't understand what statin drugs are and the damage that they do, although our focus tonight will be starting with antidepressant drugs and other prescription and over-the-counter drugs of the like. Mr. Tony Grant has been featured on various radio programs nationwide, WWRL, WBAI, WLIB. These are nationally syndicated radio programs. He's been on Metro Media Television. He is one to just simply speak truth to power, as I said before. So, without further ado, I bring to you Mr. Tony Grant. And let me hold off on that. One more announcement I want to make here. This month we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. This month the holiday happens to fall on his birthday. Let's make a point of truly honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, bringing in the year the way he would want us to bring it in. In other words, not just celebrating what he stood for in January, but just using January as a platform to kick off what he stood for. Truth. Let me repeat that. Truth. One more time. Truth and justice and freedom for all. And being a true grassroots citizen for what this democracy stood for when it was created. Oh yeah, there were those who were being ostracized as slaves during the writing, but it's also a constitution, as it says, for the people, by the people, and of the people. And we, in the 60s, moved in that direction, but then we got lost somewhere along the way as we rolled into the 80s. So, for those of you who are local to New Jersey, New York, and Eastern Pennsylvania, one of the organizations I'm involved with, we do a breakfast, a Martin Luther King breakfast. This will be our 42nd. I'm sort of a neophyte. I'm only a member of the last 7 years of the organization, but it is truly a nonprofit, and we raise funds for youth to bring about their awareness of who they are in the African-American community. And so our breakfast is going to be on the 15th this year, in Plainfield. So if you're in the area, drop me an email and we can get you some more information on that. And by the way, if you have something going on in your area, let me know. I'd be glad to put it on the airways. We're a nationwide program, but we're here for you. So if something's going on in your area, let me know. We'll give you a few moments to put it out there and share it. So now, without further ado, and again, we're not going to lose any time with Tony. If we have to stretch a little bit later past the 7:30, which I know we will do that. So without further ado, Mr. Tony Grant, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Greetings, and thank you very much, Brother Darrell. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine, clear as a bell. How you making out? You know, we had that nor'easter hit our way. I just got in myself after shoveling about, just not bad. For, you know, I'm a Clevelander, born and raised and in heart and spirit. And so my little 6 inches, you know, was just some exercise, basically, for the little bit I had to do. But you're a bit north of me, New Englander. And so how did you make out?
Yes, up here above the 49th parallel, we got we're getting 2 feet, and we got everything's moving sideways at 45 miles an hour. So and I want to thank you. Please express me to, my thanks to your audience for this opportunity. Their time is valuable. The presentation I want to offer today is really part of a series of factual investigations into the status of American medicine, which we know is in trouble. We know we're spending, whoever measures these things, say we're spending $3 trillion a year now, and still we're not getting the results we should be getting. So this is a report dedicated to every American medical consumer who is ready to stand up for what you were talking about before. Martin Luther King stood up for the truth in medical science, and ready to demand medical excellence, medical freedom, health empowerment, because that is not what we're getting. And as we spoke about before, 19-year-old Tracy Johnson, someone is a name that some people may remember. She was a student at Indiana Bible College. Now, Tracy was a perfectly healthy, happy, and normal young woman, and now she's no longer with us. Tracy Johnson was found dead inside the Eli Lilly and Company drug laboratory situated on the top two floors of the Indiana University Medical Center. And in her innocence, Tracy had agreed to participate in an experiment to test the safety of a new drug developed by Eli Lilly and Company. Now, this was a drug of a very specific type that Eli Lilly was developing in order to compete for big money in an area of the drug marketplace that had been dominated by Prozac. This is the antidepressant area of the marketplace. And every American who has a television or has a memory is already familiar with the drugs in the Prozac category, the so-called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRI, Zoloft, Paxil, Celexa, Luvox, Lexapro. There are a bunch of them. We've all seen the television advertisements, all the blue skies and green grass. Medically speaking, these drugs, when we observe how they operate in the human body, these drugs belong to the same drug chemical category together. Prozac was number one. Prozac was the first. And Prozac had been generating $2.7 billion in sales for Eli Lilly in America alone. So this enormous prize does not include international sales. Plenty of profits for Eli Lilly. But in August of 2001, the generic version of Prozac, fluoxetine, arrived in the marketplace, and within 2 weeks, generic Prozac, fluoxetine, had become number one in sales volume, and the brand name Prozac had declined to number two. So Eli Lilly executives wanted to get back on top. As you mentioned earlier, they're about business. They are not about making us well. We have to understand that about the medical system. We're not talking about your doctor. We're not talking about your nurses, your nurse practitioners and physician's assistants and all these people who have worked hard to get their certification and were never really given the education they were promised. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the people at the top of the drug industry. They know exactly what they're doing. And the Eli Lilly executives wanted to get back on top with a new drug since Prozac had become a generic. And they had a new drug to enter into the race for number one, duloxetine. The top dogs at Eli Lilly were preparing to ride duloxetine back to the top, and they were ready to do whatever might be necessary to make that happen. But first, before they could get on the scoreboard, they had to get duloxetine approved for sale in the United States, and they had to finalize their research and get FDA approval. And this is how Tracy Johnson got involved. But before we learn about how Tracy died, let's take a moment to examine what we really want to examine, the validity of the science of drug development. Now, this is the drug development process Tracy has volunteered to assist, and this is now going to be the truth about the so-called scientific process for which Tracy Johnson sacrificed her life. This is an investigation into the validity of conventional medical theory, that medical theory we all believe in, because we think our medical system is governed by science when really our medical system is governed by the drug industry. But specifically, we're going to examine our belief in the value of toxic drug chemicals. Sometimes people say, which ones are toxic? They're all toxic. There are no drugs that are not poisoned. Every single pharmaceutical drug that is legal to prescribe in America is listed on the master database of the American Association of Poison Control Centers. I say again, the American Association of Poison Control Centers maintains a master database of all poisons known to science for the purpose of taking income for trauma centers and emergency rooms around the country. They subscribe to this database. And so therefore, because no one knows what poison you might have taken when you get rushed to the trauma center or the emergency room, every poison must be listed on that database. And when you go to the American Association of Poison Control Center database, you will find every single prescription drug that is legal to prescribe in America is listed there as a poison, because all these drugs are poison. Now, there are many doctors, because they've been taught in medical school that drugs are poisons. They've been taught that. But what they're taught is that all these drugs are special poisons. They're clever poisons. They're very, very scientific poisons. But many doctors will acknowledge to you, yes, it's a poison, and they'll tell you not to worry, it's okay. And we have to decide, with what we see regarding the difficulty in our medical system, is poison medicine? Now, I know many may be taking their hypertension drug, their diabetes drug, they may be taking their you mentioned the statin drugs for cholesterol, they may be thinking, well, what are you talking about? All this stuff is modern. All this stuff is scientific. That's what you are led to believe. So
let me ask you a question, Mr. Grant.
Sure, yes.
These drugs are poison and are listed thereof on that particular system that you were referring to.
Yes.
That's something that's publicly knowledge, publicly available?
Well, you have to subscribe to the database to be able to access it. However, many doctors will say to their patients in a very calm voice, yes, the drug is a poison, but it's a very clever poison. It's been designed to enable you to tolerate it and give you healing. You know, that's how they think of it. They're aware that these drugs are poisons. As you said before, they are not natural. They don't belong in the body.
But they're listed as poison on this particular database.
Yes.
When you say poison, they are actually listed as poison, you know, as it's spelled out, POI, you know, as a poison?
You know, all of the items listed at the American Association of Poison Control Center database, they're all poisons. Every prescription drug is a known poison. Now, doctors are taught that in medical school, and doctors will tell you that if they are, I mean, every doctor is different, but they are led to understand that they're taught that these are very scientific poisons, and the results they give are health-giving. That's what doctors are
taught. And what's the name of the association again? The American Association?
Poison Control Centers. You can look in any toxicology textbook. It's all the same thing. Every toxicology textbook acknowledges that all drugs are poisons. There is no drug that belongs in your bloodstream. Now, we're here speaking on the radio. We don't want people to throw away their drugs. If you're taking a beta blocker drug for high blood pressure and you throw it away, you may wake up dead in the morning because these drugs capture your physiology. What we're asking is, if anything, let's look at the truth and let's think about if you're taking a beta blocker drug for your high blood pressure, can you change your lifestyle? Can you eat less salt? Can you drink more water? Can you make the changes that enable your blood pressure to go down so low while you're on that drug that you can have that conversation with your doctor? Hey, doc, we've got to talk about this drug. So we cannot here at this place, not being doctors, and certainly even if we were doctors, we haven't examined anybody who's listening in. We can't say throw away your drug, but the drug is a poison, and any honest doctor will calmly, perhaps reluctantly, say, yes, you're right, it's a poison. But the doctor's been taught it's an okay poison. It's an all right poison. It's a tolerated poison. It's an acceptable poison. If you accept that, then well, fine. But we should investigate this validity of the claim that toxic chemical drugs are the best remedies that medical science can offer. We should examine that and examine the impact of the corruption and naked greed so prevalent today in the toxic drug industry. We should examine the role of the FDA, which, as you said earlier, Darrell, is not protecting us, the Food and Drug Administration, and the widespread accusations of corruption and incompetence that are being leveled at the Food and Drug Administration. And along the way, we should observe and acknowledge the failure of our national news organizations. We will see, when we look at our news organizations, the Nightly News, the New York Times, the USA Today, the PBS NewsHour, the All News All the Time Radio, that these news organizations that are vital to the American medical consumer, they are not reporting everything that is vital to the public. And so all this lore that we have developed over the years, we are strongly encouraged by the media to have pride in the American medical system. We watch, well, I'm sorry, it's been a long time since I had television, but I remember Marcus Welby was a program, although I never saw an episode. I'm so old, I remember Ben Casey and Kildare. I remember when Dr. Kildare was a radio program. That's how old I am. But I'm just saying, all these shows, ER, House, Chicago Hope, these are intended to result in a popular belief, and it's worked, a popular belief in the superiority of American medicine. And a single episode of ER can offer a display of enough medical, you know, wizardry and high-tech medical machinery to give the impression that our modern American doctors have power to raise the dead. Now, we know this isn't true. We know that for our $3 trillion a year, the World Health Organization ranks the health of America dead last among all the developed economic nations. We are last. All the nations that have superhighways and skyscrapers and the highest developed economies, we're last in terms of the health of our nation, although we pay our money. So the reality is the practice of the medicine in America, we have to understand. The brutal reality is that medicine in America, we're not talking about your doctors and your nurses and your people who are struggling hard to heal us with drugs that don't work. We're talking about the people who control the system. For them, they understand that medicine is not a philanthropic endeavor. That idea is a myth. Medicine is a business, just as you were saying earlier, Darrell. The education of our doctors and the delivery of medical care in America is controlled by pharmaceutical conglomerates. None of this offers any hope for the improvement in the health or longevity of any American medical consumer because drugs do not heal. When you take a drug for hypertension, is your hypertension gone now? Because if you miss a dose, you'll find out the truth. Drugs don't heal anything. Drugs don't get to the root of the problem. Why do you have hypertension? If you ask your doctor that, your doctor will say, well, it's a complex issue, and because that's what your doctor's taught. But we know that from my old friend John Harris, when we had our radio program, his stepfather owned a pharmacy, and he would see his classmates' parents, and sometimes the classmates would come in to get the prescription filled for the parents. And he'd say, when he'd see them come in for the blood pressure medication, wait 18 months, they're going to come in for the kidney medication. Because many people who have blood pressure problems, not all, have congested kidneys. Why? Because we're not eating properly. We're eating the American way. We're eating that American diet plan. You know the American diet plan? One meal a day, right? All day long. All day long we eat. And these kinds of transgressions against our body can cause the filtration systems of the kidney to become blocked. And what happens then? The blood still has to be filtered. Your body is obedient to natural law. For those of us who are believers in Holy Scripture, your body is obedient to God. And so your body is going to filter that blood even though you have caused your kidneys to be clogged. Now, in order for that to happen, a signal has to be sent to the heart. Push harder. We got to filter the same amount of blood, but the filtration systems are clogged. And that pushing harder is what we call high blood pressure. So is it a heart problem or a kidney problem? There are other reasons why you can have high blood pressure. I'm just saying that the problem is in the kidneys in that case. And it needs to be solved by nourishing the kidneys, by changing the diet. And then the high blood pressure will go away. But instead, what do? We give poisons to the body that force the blood pressure down, which fights against what the body's trying to do. The body's trying to get the pressure up to get that blood through the kidneys so it can be filtered on time. And so these drugs are fighting the body. They're fighting what the body's trying to do because drugs do not heal. Drugs generate profits. Drugs do not return the patient to a state of health. Drugs are toxic chemicals that work only to mask or conceal symptoms of an illness. So when you take a drug, your symptoms go away, but the sickness remains. When you walk out of your doctor's office with a prescription and you go down and you fill that prescription and you take that drug, now you have high blood pressure and you're taking a poison every day. You're not getting well. The only difference is that by taking the drug, the sickness is kept well hidden temporarily until the drug wears off, and then you have to take another dose because when the drug wears off, you find out you're still hypertensive, you're still asthmatic, you're still arthritic, you're still allergic, you're still diabetic. When the drug wears off, you find you've made no progress whatsoever with your health. In reality, you may find that because of the drug, your health is much worse. We know that arthritis drugs destroy cartilage. Arthritis drugs that relieve the swelling and the pain, they destroy your cartilage. So the patient is never cured, but he's told he must take this drug. So the patient's loyalty to the drug maker is now guaranteed. The patient will probably suffer a lifetime under the burden of the poisonous impact of the toxic drug chemical assigned to him. But by order and proclamation of the medical dictates, this patient can never be free of the drug, and as long as he consumes poisonous drug chemicals, the patient can never be well. The patient is now drug dependent. He's become a permanent customer of the pharmaceutical drug lords of the toxic drug empire. And this is not medicine. So before we continue, permit me to present you with a famous quote from an interview in the San Francisco Chronicle. I believe it's 1972. I say it's famous because it certainly should be. And the quote is, quote, "The thing that bugs me is that people think the Food and Drug Administration is protecting them. It isn't. What the FDA is doing and what the public thinks it's doing are as different as night and day," unquote. Now, this is a strong statement. The speaker here is saying that all these American medical consumers and all these doctors and nurses who are depending upon the FDA to protect the system by making sure the drugs are okay, he's saying the FDA is not doing that. And the speaker states clearly that what the public thinks about the FDA is completely wrong. Now, who's this speaker? Who has the nerve to say these things about the FDA in the San Francisco Chronicle? Somebody probably like me, who's wild-eyed and always looking for the truth. No. The speaker is the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, Dr. Herbert Ley. Now, this should have been big news. Dr. Herbert Ley was one of our finest medical men and a true public servant. We don't see this anymore. Dr. Ley attempted to get the FDA to function properly while he was commissioner in the 1970s, and the reward he got for his effort, well, Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was one of the most corrupt men on the planet, had to fire him because he wouldn't play the game. And this is many decades ago. So, now here we are, decades later. Millions of Americans start the day with Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks or Egg McMuffin, Frosted Flakes. Generally speaking, we consume an overabundance of processed food, convenience food, takeout food, junk food, fast food, genetically modified food, as you were saying, Daryl, and various other forms, and there are many, of zero nutrition food. We love to eat sugary treats, cookies and ice cream and candy, and we consume salty snacks and chips and dips and, you know, high-calorie, high-cholesterol, high-fat meals and snacks between meals because we're eating the American meal plan, which is one meal a day, all day long. So, someone has conducted an unofficial survey of American eating habits and declared, and I don't know how he got this, that 80% of what Americans eat is nothing but four things: meat, milk, wheat products, and potatoes. That's 80% of what we eat. So we are suffering from self-afflicted illness, and this is perfect for the drug companies. They can say, "What's the matter? Are you sick?" So the truth is that Prozac developer Eli Lilly, the truth is they never had any intention to develop a drug for depression. I'm going to try to do this fast because I know we want to go do other things. But at the time Prozac was being developed, depression was not considered to be a common condition. It wasn't a moneymaker. Among American medical consumers, depression was something that was virtually unheard of. But we must remember that the number one objective of the toxic drug chemical business is cash. Drug manufacturers bring toxic drug chemicals to market in order to make money. They don't care about anything else. So when Prozac was being developed, Eli Lilly was not trying to develop a depression drug. This is important for us to know because we think that all these drugs are carefully and painstakingly developed. They had no idea that Prozac was going to end up being a depression drug. The market was too small for depression, and Eli Lilly was in business to make money. They wanted to develop drugs that will have the biggest possible market appeal. So Prozac, from the beginning, was always intended not to be a depression drug. They hadn't even thought of that. They wanted it to be a hypertension drug. That's why they developed Prozac. Prozac was supposed to be a drug for hypertension, high blood pressure, but the problem was it didn't work. Eli Lilly found it worked somewhat in animals, the animal tests, but it didn't work in humans. Now, what do we think happens when a drug fails to test in humans? What do? They go back to the drawing board? Is that what they say? Way up there in the Eli Lilly boardroom, is that what they say? Well, the drug's no good. Let's start all over. No. They say, we got ourselves a drug, and we don't know what it's good for, but there must be a way to make money with it. This is the scientific process that they tell you about when they say how much money they spend developing drugs. This is the truth about drug development. So then Eli Lilly executives decided that Prozac might be the next drug they could think of that might make them money. They wanted it to be a weight loss drug. Hey, plenty of money in that, right? So clinical investigations were launched to get approval for Prozac as an obesity drug. So, okay, everybody, place your bets. Is Prozac an obesity drug? Place your bets. Is Prozac a hypertension drug? You know? So they conducted clinical trials for Prozac as an anti-obesity drug. But sorry, guys, failure again. No joy in the Eli Lilly executive suite. So you see, as American medical consumers, we are convinced that there's some kind of high-level scientific process involved in drug development. Well, this is obviously not the case with Prozac, one of the biggest drugs ever produced. Prozac is not an anti-obesity drug, so what happens now? In a last-ditch effort, and I'm almost done, Eli Lilly got five volunteers. Five! There's no scientific conclusions you can make with five volunteers. They got five volunteers to take Prozac, and then afterwards, those five volunteers declared that taking the drug had improved their mood. Five said, "I think that made me feel better." This is your precise and exacting scientific drug development at work. This is the truth about the entire antidepressant industry. Millions of medical consumers worldwide believe that the development of Prozac for depression involved painstaking pharmacological science. The reality is that Eli Lilly executives pressed Prozac into service as a depression remedy, and they were disappointed. But they did that because it didn't work for anything. And as we will see, when we look at the track record of Prozac, there is no science, there has never been any science to show that Prozac works for depression either. So I don't want to just go on and on, Daryl, but we know that Prozac was followed by Zoloft and Celexa and Paxil and Luvox and Lexapro, and there is to this date no proof that any of these drugs offer any help for anyone with depression. Professor Stafford Lightman at the British University of Bristol, leading expert in brain chemistry and hormones, says that we do not know what all these Prozac family drugs are doing in our brains. We don't know. Here I quote Professor Lightman, quote, "Basically, we started using these drugs before we understood what they do." Of course you did, Professor, because it was a hoax put over by Eli Lilly. He continues. This is him quoting again. "It is a bit embarrassing," he says. "The bottom line is we don't really know how they work." Well, you know me, Daryl. I could go on. Maybe I should stop here.
No, this is excellent. For our listeners, no, this is just telling the truth to power. For our listeners, as I mentioned earlier, you've been tuned in to Mr. Tony Grant, and Tony Grant is a research journalist specializing in medical research. Since 1968, he's a people's advocate and takes pleasure in bringing truth to power. He is truly a humanitarian. If you'd like to comment and have a question for Mr. Grant, you'll dial 347-838-9142 or just dial 1 on your touchtone pad at this point, and you'll have an opportunity to comment. We have a caller out of Ohio who has a comment or a question, Mr. Grant, and we're just going to bring her to the airwaves. You're welcome to Progressive News Weekly. You are on the air, 216-799.
Yes, hi. This is your cosmic beauty, Mr.
Hey,
Grant.
Hey, a regular listener.
Yes, Dr. Grant, I have a question. It's taking things from away from what you're speaking about. You know, but I was a musician, about 10 years ago, I was in Chicago, and I had COPD, and they asked me to take the flu vaccine. I took it. When I came back to my hotel about 3 hours later, I started going through the flu for 7 days, very bad. Had it not been for my neighbors, I would not have made it. When I went back, and this was at the Chicago Institute of Medicine, when I went back and told them what happened, they said, "Miss Beauty, you must have already been coming down with it because the virus we gave you was dead." And I do have a question of why that happened. I have not taken the flu vaccine since.
Well, Miss Beauty, that's a very, very powerful testimony, because that tells us something that has been happening around the country. People have not been given the correct information about flu vaccine, about vaccinations in general. And we have the number one government expert on flu vaccines, Dr. J. Anthony Morris, is famous for saying, "None of the flu vaccines work at all." I mean, I'm not quoting him directly now. I don't have the quote in front of me. But the number one government expert on vaccines told the FDA administrators, we have to let everybody know flu vaccines do not work. And they said, well, no, actually, we're not going to do that. We're the administrators. You go back to your laboratory. That's nice. So he went on nationwide television, and that's where I got the quote from, where he says, all these people who make flu vaccines, the manufacturers, they know they don't work. He was fired, but, of course, he had all the science. He was a very excellent scientist. And so he got his, you know, he didn't ever went back to the FDA, but he got all, you know, he won the case in court, and he got all his back pay and probably some sort of penalty as well. But what is happening is we are not being told the truth about the flu vaccines. The people who told you you probably had the flu already, that's the lie they are told. They cannot accept the fact that you can get the condition from the vaccine. The developer of the polio vaccine, Sabin, Dr. Sabin, is famously quoted as saying that the vaccines that we are administering during these mass vaccinations may be giving people the disease they're supposed to protect them from. Right
yes.
now, we have Bill and Melinda Gates have been kicked out of India because they have given 45,000 Indian children, healthy children, now have polio because they went to get the free Bill and Melinda Gates polio vaccine. And this,
yes.
I'll stop here, but this I just want to say should remind us about what I was trying to say earlier about our news organizations. 47,500 innocent, healthy children getting polio from the Bill and Melinda Gates polio vaccine, that's a news item. That's a news item. That happened in 2012, and nobody knows about it.
Yes, no, and I never heard it. I'd like to thank you for that, because I've not
thank you
taken
very much.
I've not taken the vaccine since.
Don't take
so
those
much.
Vaccines, Beauty, because they're not what they're... Right now, there's a whooping cough epidemic going around the country, only among children who've been vaccinated for whooping cough. The children who are not vaccinated don't get it.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Beauty.
Wow, Dr. Mr. Tony Grant. That's a thank you to Cosmic Beauty out of Ohio. We thank you for commenting and sharing. Tony, you know, I've heard so many stories like that. A coworker of mine, I mentioned, I believe, a month or so, a couple of months ago, reached out to me on a weekend. And it was so interesting because that was a Sunday she reached out to me. And on that Thursday, I remember her saying she was stepping out of the building and she would be back and she would just be gone for a little while. She came back. She says, oh, boy, I went and got my vaccine. I said, oh, okay. And that was a Thursday. In fact, it was the evening of one of our programs. And the next day, the very next day, she says, boy, I feel sick. And I made nothing. I didn't even link it to the fact that she had mentioned the vaccine, because when she said that, I said, oh, my gosh, you did. And she knows how I feel about vaccines, which is why she kind of said it subtly to me, knowing that that's not something that I encourage. And so she said, I went and got my vaccine. Okay, well, all right, well, sure, your life. So the next day she was saying she wasn't feeling all that well and she was going to leave, and she left early. So Sunday I went to church. I got back from church. I had a text from her, and she was in the hospital. I'm not laughing
yeah.
at her, but I'm laughing because she sent me a picture from the hospital. I still tease her about that. I'm like, that's weird. She sent me a picture of her sitting in the hospital bed with one of those hospital masks on. And so I called and I said, what's going on? She says, Daryl, I don't know. I just got a fever and I've got the chills. And you know what? And this is weird too, because Tony, I didn't even link it with the flu vaccine. I was just taken aback that she was in a hospital just after a couple of days. I said, what's going on? Did you pick up something from someone or what? She says, I don't know. It wasn't until that Monday morning. I said, you know, I prayed with her. I said, you need to try to get out of there as soon as you can, because that's not a place you want to be. And I said, I'll touch base with you in the morning. They said, well, they told her they couldn't find anything, so they probably would release her. They'll keep an eye on her for another day. I said, okay. So the next morning, about 9 a.m., I reached out and I said, so how's it going? And she said, well, they're going to release me. They can't find anything. And that's when it hit me that she had taken that vaccine. So
yeah.
I said, well, as soon as you get back, you know, let's talk. And she got back that afternoon. And we sat down and said, do you realize, I didn't want to say anything when she was in the hospital. I didn't want her to panic, and she's kind of a fiery person. I didn't want to get herself in any trouble. I said, do you realize that the symptoms you described were flu symptoms? She said, you know, you're right. I said, you know where I'm headed with this. She says, Daryl, not the vaccine. I said, you said it. I didn't. She says, Daryl, you've been telling me about this. You've been telling me about this. She said, and she says, I'm calling my doctor immediately, because like I said, she's a very fiery lady.
Yeah.
But this was not even 2 months ago. She was in the hospital, and she was severely sick.
Your friend's experience and Cosmic Beauty's experience is a very common experience that we're not hearing about in the news. We need to look beyond the news. You can get a copy of Vaccine Injuries. Even better, get a copy of Dissolving Illusions that goes through the entire history of the fraud of vaccination. Vaccination does not have its roots in science. Vaccination began as a barbaric pagan ritual. And it's really not gone very much further than that. The so-called father of immunology, Dr. Edward Jenner, was not a doctor. He had never set foot in an institution of medical learning in his entire life. He purchased his medical degree from a diploma mill, you know, a place that has printing presses but no classrooms. He never for a moment believed in vaccination. He was trying to fool the Parliament of England into giving him money for helping to solve the smallpox problem, and he fooled them. He made a lot of money. But he had many admirers in that time who, you know, wrote about him. They liked him, and they knew that he was a con man, and they wrote about it. And so the whole vaccination theory has a crumbling foundation. So we need to take a look at the idea that all of these drugs and vaccines are something that we need, when, in fact, we're allowing ourselves to be separated from all of the natural medicines that we should be getting, the kinds of natural programs and protocols that you give to your clients, returning to how much fresh vegetables do we eat? How much fresh fruit do we eat? What's our ratio of processed food to really good food? How many green leafy vegetables is it? I mean, what about the salt, all the sugar? Who's really watching out for the GMOs? When you go to the store and you see that attractive ear of corn there, do you ask the produce manager, what's the, you know, give me the provenance of this ear of corn? Is this a GMO? Do you ask about the potatoes? I'm saying we are living in a society where, you said it, caveat emptor. If you're walking around just saying la, 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 then you're going to become a victim of the strategy of the people who are in business to get your money.
It is so, so very true. You know, folks ask, you know, with Daryl, you know, what am I to do? Well, start with a whole food diet. I mean, that's the very first place to start. Because the body is designed to survive. It will try to survive. But you've heard the saying, catching the flu or catching a cold. We literally do go out and we catch it. We catch it from the foods that we eat, from our lifestyles. You go into the bathroom. I don't even touch the handles. If I use a public bathroom, which I try to avoid, I mean, literally, I have to be ready to just about go on myself before I'll go in a public restroom, and then I do not touch the handle. I'll take some toilet paper, and ball it up to open the door of the restroom to get out before I'll put my hand on it. So we just have to be more conscious. Do you know how many germs just on that handle alone? You know how many people do not wash their hands when they go to the restroom? Just that one piece of advice, if you have to go to a public restroom, just that one. A friend and colleague, of mine, has had a theory that if you increase your vitamin C and your vitamin D, you decrease chances, along with probiotics, you decrease your chances of catching a flu by at least 50%. Just just supplementing with simple vitamin D, of course, a high quality. I would not buy mine from Walgreens. It's just something I wouldn't do. But just that alone. So yeah, there are things out there that you can do. Elderberry is good. You have to be careful. Things like garlic are good, but you have to be careful because if you're on drugs, the garlic is a blood thinner. But there's so much information now up on the web, but definitely vitamin A, vitamin D. You know, we talk about an apple a day. Oh, my gosh, an apple. Apples, real apples, organic apples. One of the best things. It's no coincidence that it's a fall fruit. It's preparing you for the inclement weather, for the challenges, the stressors, the stress of the season that reduces your immune system. It's not so much just the cold. It's the stress on the body that causes us to catch that cold. Because when you have stress, your immune system is weakened. And when your immune system is weakened, then the body can't do what it naturally is designed to do, which is to fight diseases, what we call disorders. I mean, what is cancer? It's an errant cell. You know, I try not to go on diagnosed terms of the medical profession. They'll have you believe that it's yours. They'll say, you know, your diabetes, your high blood pressure. And how many of my clients have I had come to me and say, well, my diabetes is really acting up. It's really my high blood pressure. And the first thing I say is, when did it become yours? When did you take ownership of this? I mean, literally just letting that fall off your tongue, do you know what that does to the psyche? And all of your cells, I'm going a little holistic. I'm not going deep sea fishing just yet, but you need to put on your ankle boots for this one. We're just going to go a little bit into this, and we will more as we go into the programs ahead. As I mentioned at the top of the program, we're really going to caveat emptor this year with guests like Mr. Grant and Ms. Eula Pasternak and others, Mr. Ron Crenshaw. We're going to protect ourselves, and then we're going to speak out on this madness that's going on around us, the sickness, paying $150 for a cable that is literally programming you to kill yourself. I mean, you look at the programs that are on. Look at the programs that are on. Half of them start with murder, killing, some sexual perversion. These are things that are not good for your psyche, but we're paying minimum of $120 to, I know people paying $250 for cable. So we have to be caveat emptor here, folks. It's critically, critically important. So what do you do with the flu? First of all, make sure you're taking a good multivitamin. There are those who say, oh, multivitamins are no good. We're made up of vitamins. But what we do by eating adulterated food and overcooking and boiling our food is we draw down all the good flora in our bodies, the good minerals. Minerals are critical for your survival. Minerals. You got to have iron. You got to have magnesium. You got to have potassium. These things are critical for your survival. But as Mr. Grant said, the foods that we're eating is so processed, and even if it says they're minerals, fortified, what does that mean? Is it some type of a artificial mineral that's been injected into that product? I'm sure Mr. Grant can talk about that too. Fortified foods. What is your perspective on that?
Well, we know quite well, Daryl, that what they're fortifying food with is not what was intended to be in there, that they're using some sort of chemical. In fact, for the iron that they add to white flour, it's a ground up iron ore. It's powdered iron ore. And so these are not really replacing what was taken out in the processing process. We need to understand that we have a connection to nature. For those who believe in Holy Scripture, we have a connection to our Creator who designed everything. And he filled the world with these nutritious foods and green medicines. Now, when we go to the laboratory and cook up something because we think we're smart, that's not going to be something the body is going to be yearning for. Your body's not looking for poisons. Your body's not saying, hey, we'll get some of the more of that poison down there. Your body's holding out. Our bodies are holding out for us, as you say, stop owning that disease. Your body's not broken. Your body's saying, can you send some nutrition down here, please? And when we deal with all that artificial kinds of, as you say, fortified foods, these are, as you mentioned before, nutrient analogs. They're similar to real nutrients, but they're made in a laboratory. And so we have to make a decision about, are we going to continue to be led along the path by the processed food industry? This is tasty. This is nice. So I enjoy this. They even say that it's got more, it's fortified with vitamins. Are we going to be led along that path? Or are we going to sit back and say, what does the body really need? Because if we're giving it what it needs, then we don't have to worry about taking any drugs. We don't have to worry about any vaccines. We should have a conversation about the power of the human body as created by God to be able to withstand any onslaught of infectious agents, whatever one you want to name. Your innate immune system, that's the one that works before the antibodies are even produced. Your innate immune system can repulse all comers without even making an antibody. This is something they've been talking about at the University of Chicago. People who are concerned about what they're being told about vaccines and you don't want to read any of those books or purchase them, go on to YouTube. Daryl, ask people to watch a YouTube video entitled Hear This Well, Parents Speak Out. Hear This Well, Parents Speak Out. And what will be returned to you will be a playlist. That's what the kids call it, right? The old people used to call it compilation. There will be a playlist of 271 vignettes, very short, some only a minute, of parents telling you the truth about how they took their precocious, alert, goo-goo, mama, tata, crawling, walking, almost walking baby to the well baby visit, and that was it. Baby didn't talk. Baby went back to crawling. Hear this well, parents speak out. These are real cases of what really happens instead of all of the illusions that they give us in the medical system about this is okay, don't worry about this. The drug is a poison, but it'll help you. Vaccines are okay. Oh, you must have been going to have the flu already. We don't want to admit that we gave you the flu, so we have to assume that you had it already. We have to begin to become health-empowered, Brother Daniel. We have to become, and being health-empowered means that all those things you talked about, knowing about elderberry. I mean, there used to be a time when this kind of medical wisdom that you have was part and parcel of every family household. When I was young, which is a long time ago, there was no way that I could eat between meals and get seen by somebody who knew my family in the neighborhood without them saying, you know, that boy's eating between meals again. You had to wait for your – there was no snacking between meals because that interferes with your digestion, that interferes with optimum absorption and nutrition. I'm saying we knew more, and they've led us all the way to this path of stupidity where we think that, as you say, damaging our bodies by wrong living, breaking down our immune system, staying up late, all these things that are now commonly thought to be – you know, normal fun, pajama party, or whatever reason people have. I'm talking about young people now, but old people have all kinds of reasons to stay up late. These are destroying our health and making us customers for the drug industry.
It is so very true. So with that said, listeners, you've got the roadmap for 2018, and we're going to, again, continue this journey. We're not going to stop. Mr. Grant will be returning. We've agreed this is something that is not just a good thing, it's the right thing. It's not just a right, it's a responsibility that we have, and now that you have. Because once you know green means go and red means stop, why would you at a red light go when you know there's danger thereof? Would you allow a loved one, when you see that light, go when you know red means danger? Now, if you didn't know, that's one thing. But now you're empowered. So what you have to do is share. You want to share this with your loved ones. You don't want to have information week in and week out being provided, and you're holding on to that, and out of fear or just not understanding the importance of the role that you play to make a difference, or out of guilt, if that's a possibility, or shame, not share this information. Because if it wasn't for individuals like everyone on this airwave speaking out or making choices with their decision making when they enter into the marketplace, Adam Smith, known as the father of economics by some, said there's an invisible hand that controls the economy. The invisible hand is the hand of that decision that you and I make when we enter into the market. The market has no choice but to respond to it. Dr. Mendoza says something, one of my teachers and mentors, who is on from time to time. He's a chronic healer. He's also an MD. But he understands the natural importance of life and health and the link thereof. And he says, everything is energy. And energy is everything. Everything is energy, and energy is everything. So there's an energy flow taking place right now between Mr. Tony Grant and myself and every single individual on this line. And even if you don't want to participate in it, there's nothing that can be done. It's existing right now. As you're listening, I mentioned at the top of the program, it's about ears and eyeballs, folks. And by the mere fact that you're listening, you're connected. You're already participating in this movement, this energy. So why take a half a step when you're already moving and there's no limitation for you to take the full step? And what's the full step? Telling someone. Some one person at least. Guess what I found out Thursday night? There's a program that comes on, and they're sharing real information. You need to listen into this. If you're not doing that, then you're working counter to the rotation of the planet. You're working counter to good, clean air. You're working counter. I'm boldly making those statements, folks. Not of me, but of a higher energy. Because I just, where I'm at on a existence level, holistically, I'm in an energy field. That's where I'm at right now, folks. And you're in the field too. But you just need to up your ante. Just tweak it up a bit so that you can truly make a difference. Because there's lives at stake. There's a planet at stake. Yes, you can impact it. Walk in that grocery store, as I said earlier, and take a look at the products that are now labeled non-GMO. 10 years ago, you would not have seen that. And the only reason you're seeing it is because of individuals that have made phone calls, like myself and some of you, and individuals who, even if they didn't make phone calls, when they saw the Hunt's ketchup next to the store brand, next to Heinz, and they said, I will never buy anything that's not labeled non-GMO. And those other products, by mere virtue of their sales declining, have been forced to not purchase GMO. There are countries that won't even allow genetically modified products in. France. There are progressive countries, folks. America is so far behind. And that's why I said left wing, right wing, get mad at me if you want. And I'm set free. Set yourself free, folks. I ain't got nothing against. That's some Ebonic language there. I ain't got nothing against our prior president. It's not personal. It's not personal. I love the brother as an African American. But I also love relatives who are blood relatives. However, if they go and they knock down an old lady and they do something that's wrong, as much as I know they may have a good heart and they have me and them, and I'm just using an example. When I say cousins, it could be an uncle, an auntie, a brother, a sister, a close friend. And I know that they're pretty good people, but they do some things that are not helpful or even harmful. We got to call that out, folks. And that's all I'm saying. And I didn't want to make this political, but, you know, let's keep it real here. It's left wing, right wing, same bird. It really is. And you may say, well, the lesser of two evils. What? Okay. You live by that. I'm not there. If you think about it, just give it a chance. So, no, I'm not endorsing this president that we're in under right now. We got him. He is what he is. But at the same time, I'm calling what was there before for what it is. And I really was glad to see an intellectual African-American at the helm. Intellect, I mean, at the highest level of intellect. But there was no black agenda. And you know it. There was no black agenda. And I'm not hearing, well, he did what he could. There was no black agenda. And that's all I'm saying, folks, when I get on that political piece. That's all. And I question it. No one's been able to dispute it. What was the black agenda? And I don't go for that, a rising water raises all boats. Well, we got some boats out there that got big holes in them. I.e. African-American people, big holes. So rising waters do not raise all boats. It raises a lot, yeah. We had a lot of folks that needed some help as African-Americans, and it didn't happen. So folks, let's just all come together as people right now. This is the month Martin Luther King was born. We celebrate his birthday. Let's step out and make a difference. Tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Mr. Tony Grant, I thank you, thank you, thank you for taking the time out again to join us. For those of you who would like to get some information about what to do about the flu or alternatives to some of the prescription drugs that are out there, you can send me an email. For most diagnosis, there are some natural approaches that can be helpful, if not all. And I would venture to say I believe all. Send me an email. If I don't have a protocol that would be helpful, and I'm not telling you to stop taking your medicine, because as Mr. Grant said, you'll probably find yourself in a dire situation on some type of a prescription medicine and you try to stop. But that doesn't mean that you don't have the opportunity to step back and take a look at what you're taking and consider, is there another way that I might be able to wean toward to allow my organs to restore themselves? Because that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to restore themselves if given an opportunity. So you can send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore CLA18@MSN.com. If you have any questions about what alternatives may be available, for whatever, sarcoidosis, high blood pressure, lupus, diabetes, if I don't know some helpful natural remedy, one of my colleagues do. And I'm sure that we can at least give you some insight and another alternative perspective as to what your options may be. And that includes Mr. Grant, who I'm so proud and pleased and honored to have as a partner. So with that said, Mr. Grant, again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Darryl, for the invitation.
Opening program. What a way to open up 2018, keeping it real, keeping it live. And that's what we're really about. Let's keep it live in 2018, folks. It's not often that I close on the same bumper tune that I open up with, but we're in 2018. What we are going to do is absolutely keep it real, keep it live, stay on the one, and on the one is a term, it's just endearing, meaning keep it simple and basic. So with that said, until next week, and I may be traveling next week, so stay tuned for the announcement of the program, because if I am, I may be on the road and I may have to have someone step in for me, or I may have to do a replay for next week. But no matter what, you're going to be getting some information that you won't get on mainstream radio. So in the meantime, stay warm, stay healthy, tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Tell someone you love them that you do love them. And if I don't get to talk to you live before Martin Luther King's Day, make sure you have a conversation with someone or someone about what that really is about, what he stood for, and what you're going to do, not just in January, but in 2018 and beyond, to get in that energy field of what Martin Luther King was all about. Keep it live. Be real. Thank you again, Mr. Grant.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.